Results of Indulgence in Meat Eating from Manuscript 1, 88, P. Shall meat become the staple article of food because those who are in responsible positions have been educating themselves to enjoy a meat diet? Shall the physicians be free to indulge their own perverted habits to gratify appetites as they choose and thus mold the sentiments of the institution? Shall those who have had great light and who are professedly seeking to walk in that light and to reflect the light see their efforts counterworked by both precept and example in our sanitariums? In the name of the Lord, I am charged to testify that those who plead for indulgences of appetite in meat eating are the very ones who need to reform and bring themselves into line. They will not give directions for the patients to eat the flesh of dead animals because their own appetites crave meat. When the habits and tastes are brought into correct lines, it will be seen that light and truth are guiding the ones who are acting as guides to poor, weak, self-indulgent, intemperate souls. The physician should educate the patient so as to lead them away from the use of hurtful things and should point out safe paths for the feet to walk in. If the minds of patients are left to their own direction, many will, of course, choose the gross diet of flesh rather than the fruits of the ground and of the trees. When those who act as physicians lead away from health principles, God is not honored. When this is the case, whatever may be the religious instruction, there is a dead fly in the ointment. How can you plead that you are conscientious in the work? Know ye not that there is a good conscience and a bad conscience? Which is pure and elevating and ennobling? When one takes a course that is in harmony with his own perverted hereditary and cultivated taste in indulgence of appetite, shall his claims of conscientiousness be respected as of heavenly birth? Is it safe for him to follow his own human impulses? Shall he become a law unto himself and by precept and example encourage others in the indulgence of appetite, entirely contrary to the light which God in his mercy has been pleased to give? The development of evil in this age of the world is largely due to the indulgence of depraved appetite. The animal passions are excited and strengthened by that which is placed in the stomach for food. We are built up from that which we eat. Physicians should study from cause to effect. The animal propensity should not be educated and strengthened to rule the whole being. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. This expression, bought with a price, means everything to us. In consideration of the price paid for us, shall we not yield our bodies and souls up to him who has bought us with his blood? Shall not that which he has redeemed be kept in as wholesome and pure and holy a condition as possible? Christ has redeemed us. Our very flesh he has saved at an infinite cost, giving his own flesh for the life of the world. The lower passions have their seat in the body and work through it. The words flesh or fleshly lusts or carnal lusts embrace the lower corrupt nature. The flesh of itself cannot act contrary to the will of God. We are demanded to crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. How shall we do it? Shall we inflict pain on the body? No, but put to death the temptation to sin. The corrupt thought is to be expelled. Every thought is to be brought into captivity to Jesus Christ. All animal propensities are to be subjected to the higher powers of the soul. The love of God must reign supreme. Christ must occupy an undivided throne. Our bodies are to be regarded as Christ's purchased possession. The members of the body are to become the instruments of righteousness. What is the result of giving loose rein to the lower passions? The delicate organs of women are worn out. Loathsome practices lead to loathsome diseases. That which God has given as a blessing is made a curse. The most terrible diseases are the sure result of incontinence that is pursued, and the animal propensities are inflamed by gross living practices, especially by a flesh diet. What is the special work that we are called upon to do in our health institutions? Instead of giving by precept and example an education in the indulgence of perverted appetite, educate away from these things. Lift up the standard of reform in every line. The Apostle Paul lifts up his voice, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our health institutions are established to present the living principles of a clean, pure, healthful diet. Knowledge must be imparted in regard to self-denial and self-control. Jesus, who made man, who redeemed man, is to be held up before all who shall come to our institutions. The knowledge of the way of life, peace, health, and sanctification of the soul and body must be given line upon line, precept upon precept, that men and women may see the need of reform. They must be led to renounce the debasing customs and practices which existed in Sodom and in the antediluvian world, whom God destroyed because of their iniquity. Said Christ, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." All who shall visit our health institutions are to be educated. The plan of redemption should be brought before all, high and low, rich and poor. Carefully prepared instruction is to be given that indulgence in fashionable intemperance and eating and drinking may be seen as the cause of disease and suffering and of evil practices that follow as a result. Shall those things go on and the victims be uninformed, unwarned? Are the youth to follow in the footsteps of the lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? Shall the cleansing fountain be shown to all? Shall the last message of mercy be given to the world? Are there to be no faithful sentinels who will work with all their God-given powers to reform those who are debased and restore the moral image of God in man? In Battle Creek, some are doing a good work, but not half what they might do. Faithful workers need to be multiplied. Missionaries in every line are needed to reach the hearts and consciences of all that shall come in contact with those who have had the light, who know that the end of all things is at hand. Let all who fill important positions of trust know that God has placed a solemn work upon them to let their light shine in clear, strong rays to a world perishing in their sins.